Church family, Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, will be the first reading in our discussion and reflection time this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. As always, I hope that this is the start of what's going to be a wonderful week for you. Go out and seize the opportunities that God has laid before you. Go find someone who is in need. Go find someone who could use encouragement. Go out and make a difference in the life of someone around you and in the lives of those of this community this week. Today I want to go back and look at an outline that I first presented about a year and a half ago at Wildwood Valley. The purpose for going back and using this is so that we can consider this concept of what I'm going to call following God in the battle. All of us are engaged in a spiritual battle of some form right now. And it is my hope that in our discussion from the life of Joshua, all of us might leave this place encouraged and also better equipped to go out and make good decisions in the spiritual battles that we face this day. He led the defeat of the Amalekites. He was chosen to represent the tribe of Ephraim as one of the 12 spies to Canaan. He was on the mountain when Moses received the Ten Commandments. He walked on dry ground twice across bodies of water. He walked on dry ground across the Red Sea as well as the Jordan River. He was chosen as the second leader of Israel as the successor to Moses. Not only did he ask God if he would keep the sun and the sky a little while longer, God granted the request. But listen to this. After his death, it was said that every single day of his leadership influenced other people to serve the Lord. Think about that for a second. Every day of his leadership influenced someone else and their relationship with the Lord. Joshua is a hero of the Old Testament. And this morning I want us to consider the idea of following God into the spiritual battles that each and every one of us are facing. Whether you know it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, whether you care to admit it or not, each and every one of us are part of a gigantic spiritual battle. It was late 2000, early 2008 that a pair of surveys came out that raised some eyebrows and concerns in the religious community. Late 2007, early 2008, these reports came out. The first was the United States Religious Landscape Survey. In this poll, the United States survey polled 35,000 adults. Here was the result. Their findings of these 35,000 adults found that 44% of those polled, 44% of 35,000 had changed religious affiliations from the one in which they were raised. Well, Chris, you can't take those polls too seriously. I mean, that's not a brotherhood statistic. Okay, well, here's a brotherhood statistic. Flavel Yakeley recently did a nationwide survey of alumni of colleges and universities directly affiliated with the Churches of Christ. Flavel's report concluded 40% of this group had either left the church or they no longer attend worship anywhere. So do you think we're in a spiritual battle? If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, and going through verse 13, you find terminology used to remind us that we are in a battle. And Scripture tells us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Are we in a battle? Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Scripture tells us to be sober and to be vigilant. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, seeks about as a roaring lion. Doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. Are we in a spiritual battle? Listen to 1 Timothy 6:12. Scripture tells us to fight the good fight of faith. So are we in a spiritual battle? I think most of us in this assembly would agree that in our early days, we were all about being enlisted in the Lord's army. And I may never march in the infantry and ride in the cavalry and shoot the artillery. Oh, I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! But could it be said, folks, that many of us have surrendered in this war? And not only have we surrendered, we have entered enemy territory and we are begging them to grant us immunity. Jack Handy once wrote the following. He once wrote, "There used to be a bully who would demand my lunch money from me every day. And since I was smaller, I would always give the bully the money. But one day I decided I'd had enough. And one day I decided to fight back. So I decided I'm going to take karate lessons. But unfortunately, the karate lessons cost $5 a lesson. I found it was cheaper to pay the bully. So I gave up karate." Could it be said that there are too many of us as Christians? There are too many of us who believe that it's easier for me to pay the bully off than to learn how to defeat him. Your bully, Satan, hates you. And Satan has a horrible plan for your life. Satan wants you to be distracted. He wants you to be disputed. He wants your soul to be destroyed. He wants you as a believer to be weak. He wants you to be feeble. He doesn't want you caring about the church. He certainly doesn't want you relying on brothers and sisters in Christ. He does not want you to read your Bible. He certainly doesn't want you sharing the gospel. Satan wants you to do anything and everything in this world except growing spiritually. So this morning, what can we learn from the life of Joshua? What can we learn from his life that will help us to also follow God in the spiritual battles that we are all facing this day? I want us to look at three lessons learned through three battles that Israel fought under the direction and leadership of Joshua. Lesson number one, trust God through what I will call the seemingly ridiculous. If you go to Joshua chapter 6 now, and if you go to Joshua chapter 6 and you look at verse 1, Joshua 6:1 tells us a little bit about Jericho. And Joshua chapter 6 verse 1 tells us that Jericho was securely shut up or shut in because of the children of Israel. And it goes a step further. It says nobody went out and nobody even came in. But secure or not, this is the children of Israel. I mean, if you look at Joshua chapter 4, and you look at verse 13, you will see that the army on the plain totaled 40,000. So when you add the numbers to the fact that these were God's people, when you take into consideration what had just happened to the Amalekites, Jericho, big deal! We'll wipe them out before lunch. But listen to the instructions from the Lord in Joshua chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. The Lord instructs, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. What? Why not just go in and wipe them out? Why not do what we've been doing and just go in and take care of it? What? Walk around the city's horns, then go in? You know, it probably seemed ridiculous to those who were inside the walls of Jericho as well. Fantastic. Go on and march. March, baby, march around the walls. The truth, folks, is that the world looks at you as believers. And the world sees a lot of what we do as God's children. And they mock us. And they tell us we are ridiculous. You can just hear the voices of folks who ridicule. They say, worship on Sunday morning? Come on, getting up early for that? And on Sunday night during football season? Bible classes on Sunday morning and Wednesday night? I mean, Wednesday night's a school night. You've got to be kidding me in your convictions. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself? Oh, come on. Put God first in every aspect of my life. Put Him over my family. Put God over my kids, over my job, over my finances. Come on. And so the world piles on. And the world piles on. And the world piles on. The world mocks you. The world mocks God. The world mocks your convictions as a believer. And the world sees you doing what you can for God. And they see you marching. And they see you marching. And they see you marching. While hurling insults at you and God. Telling you you're wasting your time. You're ridiculous. Folks, sometimes we're like Naaman. When he was told to go and wash those 7 times into Jordan to heal his leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5. Folks, sometimes rather than just doing what the Lord wants us to do, rather than knowing what God has in store for us, and rather than just doing what we're supposed to do, we become furious, we question the method of it, and ultimately, because of our stubbornness, we delay a blessing either in our lives or in the lives of others. But Joshua did as the Lord commanded. And if you go to chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, we see the result. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. Folks, if we are going to follow God into the spiritual battles that we face in our lives, we have to be willing to trust God, even when it might not make complete sense to us. Lesson number 2. Trust God through His difficult request of you. Our next stop takes us to the battle of Ai in Joshua chapters 7 and 8. Here's what I know. I know that you did not mess with God. And I know that you did not mess with the army of the children of Israel. If you go to chapters 11 and 12 in your daily Bible study at some point this week, take a look at the conquest that took place. They had God on their side. The army of the children of Israel, they were invincible. They had completely just decimated Jericho. And the army of the children of Israel could not be defeated. Except at a place called Ai. Joshua chapter 7, starting in verse 2 through the first part of verse 5. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up, and they spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. and men of Ai struck down about 36 men. If you skip back to chapter 6, verse 18, and chapter 7, verse 1, you will find in Scripture why 36 men died on that day. Before the trumpet sounded at Jericho, here's what Joshua told the people in chapter 6, 18. "And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." Joshua 7, 1. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan took of the accursed things. And so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." If you go to Joshua chapter 7, and if you look at verse 10, and if you go from verse 10 through verse 15, the Lord explains the defeat. And He also follows up by giving an instruction. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up! Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst.' O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he, all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." Sometimes, as God's people, we are called to do things that make us feel just a little uncomfortable. But uncomfortable or not, and regardless of how squeamish we might feel, they are things that have to be done God's way. Now granted, folks, you might not be asked in your life to approach an associate that will ultimately be stoned and burned along with his possessions, sons, daughters. But folks, there are tough moments as God's people. Not sure you believe me yet? Have you ever had a friend who's doing something wrong and you know that you need to be the one to go and to encourage him to stop the behavior? Have you ever known that you were doing wrong and that you needed someone to come in your life that you could confide in instead of trying to hide your sinful actions? Has it ever been easier to talk about someone rather than stick up for them when they're not around? Joshua did as the Lord commanded. We find in Scripture that Achan was destroyed and Ai was overcome the second time around. Verse 25 of chapter 8. "So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000. All of the people of Ai." If we are going to follow God into our spiritual battles, then we have to be willing to trust Him through His difficult request of our lives. Lesson number 3. God will never fail to equip those whom He has called for service. Joshua chapter 10 records for us the longest day in history. The reputation for Joshua and the children of Israel has gone throughout the land. The Gibeonites heard of what was happening, and the Gibeonites were moved to make peace with Joshua and Israel. This did not please Adonai Zedek. He was the king of Jerusalem. In fact, the king was so upset, he recruited the other kings of the Amorites to get their armies together and go and attack Gibeon. Joshua and his army went to the aid of Gibeon to defend them. And verses 10 and 11 of Joshua chapter 10 tell us the slaughter that took place. The Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Bethoron, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And it happened, as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Bethoron, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them, as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Let that sink in. There were more that died from the hailstones than the children of Israel were able to get with the sword. Joshua utters a prayer in verse 12, and an answer came quickly as the sun and as the moon stood still for an entire day, so that Israel could complete the utter dismantling of the armies of the Amorite kings. Verse 14 tells us, there has been no day like it, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Folks, in your spiritual battles, God has already provided you the tools that are necessary for you to be successful and to overcome the adversities you are facing. For God will never forget to equip those that He has called for spiritual service. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and we can finish starting in verse 13, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. The Lord has promised His presence in our lives, just as He did with Joshua in chapter 1, verse 5, a verse reiterated in Hebrews chapter 13, where Scripture says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. For as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Friends, there is something to be said about the confidence that Joshua had. The confidence that Joshua had once the Lord guaranteed His presence. Before the battle at Jericho, the Lord reminded Joshua in chapter 6, verse 2, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." Before the destruction of Ai, the Lord told Joshua in chapter 8, verse 1, "Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and arise and go to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land." And before facing the Amorite kings, the Lord told Joshua in chapter 10, verse 8, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." Joshua chapter 24, verse 31 was penned just two verses after the death of Joshua was announced. And here's what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which He had done for Israel. Folks, let's reflect and evaluate our lives as we close our study time this morning. Who has the greater influence on the other? You or the world? Has the world shaped you? Has the world molded you? Has the world made you what you are today? Have you changed the world around you and molded it by your influence on it? Folks, Christians are called by God not to be transformed by the world, but to be a transforming influence and agent on the world around. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus described our calling in this way. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set up on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Make a decision today that you will not allow the world, its frustrations, its anger, its hostility, to pull you away from God. Rather, determine this day to live your life in such a way that will draw people around you and even yourself closer to God. How is your life today, and is your life where it needs to be spiritually? Have you been baptized? Have you stood before men and confessed the name of Jesus Christ, that He is Lord, that He is in fact the Son of God, that you are a sinner, that you are in need of the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Have you gone into the world and allowed sin to re-enter your life? Is there anything that stands between you and God this morning? Is there anything that should you meet God this day? Is there anything that would keep you from an eternity in heaven? If there is anything that stands between you and God, please get that right this morning. And do not leave this building in an unsaved spiritual condition. If we can help you in any way, shape, or form, God calls you to come forward while we stand together and sing.